From the KTOO Newsroom, I'm Pablo Arauz Peña with your local and state news update. The Juneau School District has shifted gears on its decision to expand in-person classes. Earlier this week, the district announced that kindergarten students could go back to the classroom later this month, but after several discussions between teachers, parents, and staff, that plan has been postponed until after the holidays. Superintendent Bridget Weiss says the change was a response to the COVID-19 alert Governor Mike Dunleavy sent to Alaskans yesterday morning.
It was simply looking at the cause of concern that announcement made in our staff. It made sense to wait until January before we started new cohorts.
Those cohorts are the small groups of preschool through first grade students. The district was planning to go back to in-person classes first. Now in-person classes for all students are set to begin January 11th at the earliest.
We decided initially to delay until the 11th for any in-person, just to provide a little more distance for any staff or families that may travel over the holidays.
Schools are still providing online instruction and in-person services for the students who need them. Weiss noted that the district will not go to full distance delivery and continue to provide these services safely as long as Juneau stays below a level 4 risk level, which is the highest level. The community is currently at level 3. Juneau households that receive the city's pandemic relief housing and utility grants this year may get $1,000 more than what was initially offered. KTOO's Jeremy Shea reports on that and several other local CARES Act funded programs coming down the pike.
On Tuesday, the Juneau Assembly unanimously supported bumping up the city's housing relief grant amount to $3,000 a household. The change was prompted largely by news from the grant administrator that the program appears to be vastly undersubscribed.
We're concerned about our ability to expend all these funds in the time allowed.
That's Aaron Walker-Tolis, the executive director of Catholic Community Service, which is administering the program. Last month, the Assembly committed $3 million of its federal CARES Act money to the program, which must be spent by the end of the year. The dollar figure was picked, in part, based on demand for a similar program in Ketchikan. Walker-Tolis told the Assembly another 800 to 1,000 households would need to apply to exhaust the money.
The number of applications we're receiving has gone down dramatically. We're only getting, you know, probably 5 to 10 a day right now, compared with 400 out of the gate.
With the extra $1,000 bump, she estimated there'd still be enough money for a few hundred more households. Assemblymember Lauren Jones said it's possible they've just overestimated how much need there is in Juneau.
I know we're all in a hurry to spend the federal money. We don't want to send it back. We're all in a hurry to meet need, but let's not manufacture need in order to spend money.
Though Jones ultimately didn't object to the extra $1,000, the change is up for a final vote at the Assembly's November 23rd meeting. To qualify, a household must be financially impacted by the pandemic, and household income must be under $94,200 a year. And a quick disclosure, I've applied for this grant. As for the rest of the local CARES Act money the city has to spend, the Assembly is working on a direct payment program for residents impacted by the pandemic and another grant program for local businesses and nonprofits. They'll also add money to an existing public art program and give $300,000 to Family Promise of Juneau to buy a building that supports vulnerable families during the pandemic. Those programs are pending public hearing and a final Assembly vote on November 23rd. In Juneau, I'm Jeremy Shea.
In another part of the state, two local government bodies will now recognize Ketchikan's original inhabitants before each public meeting. That's after the local board voted to join the Ketchikan City Council in reading what's known as a land acknowledgement before getting down to business. Board member Diane Gubatillo brought the proposal forward.
We're surrounded. So much of our history and culture right here in Ketchikan are part of the indigenous traditions and customs. And I think it's appropriate that we honor that all our schools and where we meet and our community is on traditional native land.
Starting at the next meeting, the school board will read the following statement before each meeting. Quote, "The Board of Education would like to respectfully acknowledge the traditional first people of this land, the Tongass Tlingit people." Board member Sonia Scan says the statement is intended to recognize all of Ketchikan's indigenous people.
When we acknowledge the people of this land, we're acknowledging all of the people of this land that are the Tlingit, the Haida, and the Tsimshian people that have traveled this land for thousands and thousands of years.
Scan is the Director of Education and Training for Ketchikan's federally recognized tribe. Scan and Gubatayo, thanked former Alaska Native Brotherhood Grand President Richard Jackson and Tlingit Elder Willard Jackson for providing guidance in crafting the statement. Board President Kim Hodney said that he hoped the move was the start of a lasting tradition. The vote was unanimous. In Sitka, it's no secret that many television shows, movies, and video games have a history of inaccurately representing indigenous communities if they portray them at all. Realistic depictions of life in rural Alaska are also rare, but a new video game set in Southeast seeks to turn back the tide on that history. KCAW's Aaron McKinstry in Sitka has the story.
It's a familiar scene for Southeast Alaskans. Two people stand on a small ferry as it cruises down a protected channel between walls of snow-capped peaks and evergreen forests. Suddenly, they hear a noise coming from the water and rush to the edge of the deck.
Did you hear that?
A whale breaches.
Whoa! No place like home.
Yeah.
What's extraordinary about this scene is not so much the whale or the increasingly rare sighting of a state-operated ferry, but the fact that it's a scene from an Xbox video game called Tell Me Why, which showcases life in a rural Alaskan community with remarkable accuracy. The characters are heading from the fictional town of Fireweed to the also-fantastical Delos Crossing, but that place is loosely based on the real town of Huna, a small, predominantly Tlingit community on Chichagof Island. There's even a poster on the ferry advertising a Tlingit dance performance sponsored by the Huna Heritage Foundation.
I think there's, you know, a movement in a lot of entertainment industries to be more culturally accurate in the representation of their characters. And rather than just have a Native American character, you know, which could be so many things.
That's Amelia Wilson, the executive director of the Huna Heritage Foundation. She worked with publishers from Xbox and game designers from the French company Don't Nod to make sure the world they built was based in reality. This isn't the first video game to include Indigenous voices, but this kind of conscious inclusion is still a rarity, she says.
It is unique and it is rare. And we are a small, remote community. And so it was a really exciting process to be part of something and to see our culture and community represented and reflected in a mainstream media.
Wilson's work included everything from helping them pronounce Tlingit words to advising game designers to drop a raccoon getting into the garbage scene, to finding ways to incorporate Tlingit values, like gift-giving, which shows up in this scene.
It's a gift, Tyler. You know what gift-giving means in Tlingit culture, and what it means to refuse one.
Tell Me Why follows twins Allison and Tyler through an intimate journey that explores trans identity, violence, and poverty. It doesn't go as far as giving Native characters starring roles. The twins are white. But two of the main characters are Tlingit, and were played by Indigenous actors.
Because we have very complex characters and, you know, we tell complex stories, we think it is important to have them as authentic as possible.
Florent Guillaume is the game director for Tell Me Why. He says his team wanted to contrast that intimacy with the vast landscapes of Alaska. They were also drawn to the rich cultural history and tight-knit communities in Southeast.
And we decided to take a trip to the place because we didn't want to, you know, to represent some kind of fantasy that we had as French people.
During their trip to Huna, game designers collected sounds and took pictures, ate traditional foods, and met community members. And they connected with local Tlingit artists to work on the game, like Gordon Greenwald.
You know, initially there were two things. I told them I know nothing about video games. Probably the last video game I ever played was Pong back in the 70s, 60s or whenever.
And the second thing was that he couldn't design pieces that had cultural significance to a specific clan. They didn't have a problem with either stipulation, he says. Greenwald and Norwegian Tlingit artist Jeff Skaffelstad submitted drawings of art like totem poles, clan houses, and masks to the game's graphic designers, who then converted them to digital format. The process wasn't perfect, Skaffelstad says. But what ultimately convinced him to participate was the opportunity to challenge stereotypes and bring awareness to his community and his people.
If somehow this improves the world that we live in locally here, and it can make things better for those that are not here yet, that is so classically Tlingit that it was almost, we can't turn this down.
He says it was a chance to tell the world that, despite centuries of attempts to erase their culture and language, they're still here. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Erin McKinstry.